Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Panthers Preview on the home of every Florida Panthers game. AM 560 The Joe, WQAM, a radio.com sports station.
And welcome in to Panthers Preview. Alex Dono alongside the voice of the Cats, Doug Plagans. And
good evening.
Good evening, Doug. And we're going to connect with a good pal of ours in just a moment. But I'm pumped, Doug. Panthers will finally make their home debut tomorrow night at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, taking on a Tampa Bay Lightning team that I feel like I've been watching Panthers versus Lightning for the last couple of weeks because I literally have.
Because you have, yeah.
Three final preseason games against one another. You had the season opener at Amalie Arena in Tampa last night. Panthers fell 5-2, but got a chance to put a little payback on the Tampa Bay Lightning plate tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 7, Panthers and the Lightning. It's the Panthers home opener, a very much anticipated home opener. You've got the first home game, first regular season home game with Joel Quenneville behind the bench, with Sergei Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky in net with Anton Strahlman, Nola Achari, Brett Connolly. These are all the guys that were part of that big free agent class from July 1st. Their first home game is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 954-835, puck, floridapanthers.com, ticketmaster.com. Get your tickets. They're going fast, but still some available. You want to be in the building tomorrow night. But we've got a lot to get to, Alex, as we set the table for what should be a big fifth and final game of this five-game run between the Panthers and the Lightning. Of course, Joel Quenneville talked to the media today and said he's only counting the one that happened last night, really, when you get right down to it. But the Panthers and the Lightning, very well acquainted as far as the 19-20 editions of the squads are concerned right now.
As you mentioned during the broadcast last night, by the end of tomorrow, these teams will already be halfway done with the season series. But let's bring in our good pal, Red Deer Randy Moeller, Panthers color analyst on the TV side on Fox Sports Florida. Good evening, Mr. Moeller. How are you?
Hey, Big Elbow, how are you? Happy Friday to you, you and Plagans. You guys got our guts stirring up already.
We're loving it, Randy, and congratulations on your move up into the booth. I look forward to watching you and Goldie throughout the year, and I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on the season to come. You've been around this organization for so long. You've played for the team. You've been broadcasting for so many years. Can you put the expectations into words? I know there's a lot of excitement about Coach Q. There's a lot of excitement about Sergei Bobrovsky, among others. What's your expectation for the season to come?
Well, it's the playoffs, and I think it'll be, you know, a total disappointment for everybody involved if they don't make the playoffs. I was disappointed last night when the Panthers lost 5-2 to the Lightning in the opener over in Tampa. But this might be the best thing, thinking about it today, for the Florida Panthers to get where they are and where they need to be with these first two games against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the best team in the league, by far, in my opinion. I mean, you don't get 62 wins last year by slipping on a banana peel. And so, you know, even though the Panthers lost, there were some good things that happened in the game, but not enough. I think Coach Q and his coaching staff, and I think the players, to a man, know that what needs to be done in order to win and win on a consistent basis. This game was up for grabs when Vincent Trocheck last night scored that shorthanded goal. The game was tied at 2. These are the games that will define the Florida Panthers this season. These are the games that they have to find a way to win. And that has not happened the last couple of years. So they have the talent. They've got the coach, the goaltender. They've plugged in a few holes. They've got some depth with Connolly. I thought Strahlman played well last night. This is a team now that needs to learn to win. Not just to play well, but to win. But I'm very excited, very bullish on this hockey club. I think they have all the pieces in place. They have the great leadership. And let's see how this plays out. But it is a tough start to the season, schedule-wise. But then again, hey, nothing's easy in the NHL, and we've seen night after night. And even in the first two nights of the NHL, there's a small margin between winning and losing. That's where I'll emphasize where the Panthers have to be a team now that finds a way to win on a nightly basis.
Randy, got to ask you, because we've been talking about Joel Quenneville since he was announced as the Panthers head coach a couple of days after last season ended. You've been watching Joel Quenneville coach teams for a long time. Obviously, he was the man behind the bench when the Blackhawks won their three Stanley Cups in the last decade. But when you look at what he brings to the table, is there anything that has stood out throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, as he's talked to the media, things like that? Anything that stood out with him lately? Anything that you've seen that's been a hallmark trait for his teams over the years? And I guess if there are any casual fans tuned in out there, just maybe put it into words what Joel Quenneville's presence means behind the bench for the Florida Panthers heading into this season.
Well, the first thing is what you just mentioned, is presence. Joel Quenneville, a three-time Stanley Cup champion, second all-time winningest coach in the NHL. He brings accountability, and I think we're going to see that tomorrow night with a couple of changes in the lineup. On a night-to-night basis, Joel Quenneville will make the adjustments to make sure that he has a team that's iced on the ice that's going to have a chance to win the hockey game. But what the other thing that stands out is the pace of play. Now, we saw that in spurts, but not enough against the Tampa Bay Lightning last night in their season premiere of the pace of the play. He wants to play an up-tempo, and what that means is everything is at fast pace, whether it's defensively coverage or transition or on the offensive rush or the execution in the offensive zone. He wants the pace to be up, and that's the way that we practice. And, Doug, you and I have watched all the practices in training camp and in preseason, morning skates. That is what he wants. And the one last thing that I'll add is he wants to make sure that this team is a four-line team. And that has not been the case the last few years with Alexander Barkov and some of the veterans on this team and most talented playing upwards of 25, 27, 29 minutes a night. That success longevity is not there if you're having to play your top horses 28 minutes a night. So we saw Barkov's time on ice last night a little bit lower. And I think once the team gets used to that playing that four lines and be able to contribute not only offensively but defensively as well, that's where I think this team is going to take off. It's going to take a while, but the other thing that stands out from last night, the Panthers' penalty killing has to be a lot stronger, and I'm sure they're going to address that here early in the season and getting ready for Tampa Bay tomorrow night.
The Panthers, Randy, had a very aggressive offseason that not only had to do with going out and signing Coach Quenneville, but in free agency as well, starting with Sergei Bobrovsky. Kind of your thoughts on his goaltending style. Of course, everyone knows he's one of the best in the business, but, what is his ceiling in net this season for the Panthers?
Well, I think it's safe to say that goaltending won't be a problem for the Florida Panthers. The way that Bobrovsky and the pedigree that he brings to the Florida Panthers and the two-time Vezina Trophy, the way he prepares for the game and the execution and the quickness, the reflexes and the positioning and the balance, it's all there. He is, in my opinion, a top five, maybe even a top four goaltender in the National Hockey League. So goaltending shouldn't be an issue for the Florida Panthers. And I think what else he gives the team, and they still have young defensemen and young forwards. This is still a fairly young team. Is he's going to give them the confidence that if there is the odd turnover or a misplay in the defensive zone or misassignment allowing an odd man rush, that Bobrovsky is going to be there to make the big saves on a nightly basis that give them a chance to win. He is the icon that I think is going to push this team over the edge and get them into the playoffs. And as we all know, guys, You get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Randy, we've talked a lot about the new guys, but the Panthers returning a very talented group as well, and these are some players that we're, of course, going to talk about a lot over the course of the 2 hours here, but it all starts really with Alexander Barkov, and if you, just over the course of his career, you've seen him since the day he came into the National Hockey League to last season, of course, a franchise record-setting season as far as the points are concerned. You've seen him do something now that 96 points, something no other Panthers done in team history. As far as his development, what's impressed you the most and what makes him such a fun player to watch that fans this season should really capitalize on the opportunity to come out and see?
Well, Doug, I think let's go back to the beginning of last year when Derek McKenzie, unfortunately had to retire the season-ending injury, and he kind of joined the coaching staff. And Alexander Barkov, the captain of this hockey club, I think his eyes were opened up a little bit. He's not the most vocal player, but he leads by example. I think that year of experience, and I've noticed him now, the maturity of Alexander Barkov and the realization that he is the ultimate leader of this team, and we see that in preseason and now at the start of the season. I think that alone is going to benefit the Florida Panthers. He is a true leader because he leads on the ice. He has a lot of characteristics of some of the greatest leaders in the game of hockey. So I would be surprised if he doesn't hit the 100-point plateau. If he stays healthy and Huberdeau and Dadonoff, his wingers, are as productive as he is on the ice on a nightly basis, this is a continuing to be a budding superstar. And I said it. I came out publicly and said he is a top five forward, not a centerman, a forward in the National Hockey League. And I think at the end of the year, he should be able to get some Hart Trophy consideration as the most valuable player in the league. And I think all fans, casual and fanatic fans of the game of hockey here in South Florida, are going to gravitate to Barkov and appreciate what he does on a night-to-night basis.
Joined by Red Deer Randy Moeller, color analyst on Fox Sports Florida for your Florida Panthers. And, Moeller, Doug and I talked a little bit about sort of the uniqueness of the start to the season, including preseason. Tomorrow night will be the fifth straight time the Panthers and the Lightning go head-to-head, dating back over the last couple of weeks. But what do you think the big adjustment might be for tomorrow night? Panthers drop the opener. Is it just executing the things that they were doing last night a little bit better, being sharper on the penalty kill, or is there anything you think Coach Q might approach differently tomorrow night at home?
I think you hit it on the head, Alex. I think the Panthers have to be a little bit better in all areas, whether it's special teams, the breakout. I thought they overpassed the puck last night a little bit. I think they can improve on the pace of the game and take it to the way you have to play Tampa Bay Lightning because of the talent that they have on their roster. Is you've got to take it to them and take over the game and dictate the game. And I thought last night there was some spots that the Panthers did dominate in, but it just wasn't contained for long periods of time. And I think you can't just stamp one area. Yeah, everybody looks at the special teams that give up power play, a couple power play goals and that. But just a little bit in each area and make sure that all four lines are contributing. And I think the Panthers will be fine. They have the talent to skate, to play, and to compete with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just need to execute on all those small different areas. And if they get the big saves like they did last night, Bobrovsky gave them a chance to win, guys. When he made a couple of those big saves and Trocheck scored that shorthanded goal, the game was tied at 2-2, and the game was up for grabs. But I just thought that right after that, Tampa Bay took over the game, and the Panthers were back on their heels. They got to play with a little bit of gusto and a little bit of bravado, and I think they'll be fine. Confidence on this hockey club, it's got to come from each and every one of them. And I think Coach Q will have a game plan tomorrow night to get them to 1-1, and then let's see if this team can take off here in the month of October.
Last one for me, Randy, here. The Panthers, of course, fans out there have a lot of different ways to consume Panthers hockey. Of course, you can listen every night across the radio network on our great flagship station here, 560 The Joe, but you guys on Fox Sports Florida as well. Just tell us what fans can expect this season, beginning with the home opener tomorrow night and going all the way through the campaign.
Oh, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage. We're going to have a special one-hour preview for the home opener. We start at 6 o'clock. Of course, the game, puck drop will be a little after 7, so we'll have well over an hour of in-depth interviews and analysis, and I can't be more excited to welcome in Ed Jovanovsky and Jeff Chychrun, along with Craig Minervini, and we've got Jessica Blaylock there as well. And we're going to have a full coverage, so the fans, if you're unable to make the game, tune in to Fox Sports Florida. We're going to dissect everything with the Florida Panthers, not only for the game tomorrow, but for the whole season, and get you set up and familiar with all the different players, especially the new players that have joined this very talented core.
You can watch and listen to Red Deer Randy Moeller tomorrow night. He'll be calling the action with Goldie on Fox Sports Florida, and the extended preview sounds awesome. And you know, he mentioned a couple names there, Ed Jovanovsky and Jeff Chychrun. They'll both be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour tonight. So we have full coverage until 9 p.m. this evening. Red Deer Randy Moeller, thank you so much for the time, sir, and have a great call tomorrow night.
All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. And all you fans that are listening, we'll see you tomorrow night as well. And it looks like it's going to be a great crowd at the BB&T Center. I can't wait for a Panther win and to really kick off this season in front of their home fans. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
And you can always hear, I love the enthusiasm that Randy brings to the table. I mean, he just sounds like hockey to me. I get excited. What a better way to bring in an incoming season. And we're going to talk with Noel Achari when we come back. We have a lot to come here on this edition of Panther Preview. So we'll hear from Noel coming up. Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, who, of course, a good friend of ours, he's going to join us around 7:35 this evening. Panthers president Matt Caldwell will hop aboard at 8 p.m. I mentioned the names Ed Jovanovsky and Jeff Chychrun. They'll be hopping aboard at 8:15 and 8:35, respectively. We'll also hear from our friend Jameson Olive.
Yep, he'll be here.
He'll be here pretty soon.
In studio.
He'll be in the building. I love that. So a lot to come here on Panthers Preview. Alex Dono alongside Doug Plagans.
And we're going to get to some of our season predictions. You don't want to miss those. And, of course, just general conversation and banter.
You know, I saw something that we'd be doing season predictions tonight. I got to work on a hot take because I feel like when I'm going through my predictions, I feel like they're a little bit too obvious. Like I got to find a hot take somewhere, like maybe Bobrovsky will lead the team in assists or something. Like he's going to just be sending passes down the ice. I don't know. I got to come up with some kind of a hot take. You're listening to Panthers Preview here on 560 The Joe. Welcome back into Panthers Preview. Getting you set for the home opener tomorrow night. Alex Dono alongside Doug Plagans here at the studios of 560 The Joe. So Panthers and Lightning tomorrow, Doug. A couple of in-state rivals, very familiar with one another with all these meetings preseason. They had the season opener last night. I thought Randy Moeller had a really good breakdown of the game yesterday. Panthers did drop it 5-2. And it really the latter stages of the third period that things came off the rails, because when Vincent Trocheck scored that shorthanded goal, it felt like a momentum booster. Panthers were right back in the game. That tied it at 2-2. Now, shorthanded goal, so the power play for Tampa continued. They were able to take momentum right back scoring on that power play, and maybe if that power play goal hadn't come, it could have been a whole different hockey game.
The Panthers played well, and Sergei Bobrovsky made some huge saves in that game last night. The Panthers and the Lightning, a tight one. The 5-2 final score was not really indicative of how that game ended up going, but the Panthers and the Lightning, well acquainted, 3 preseason games against each other. They opened the season against each other last night. They'll see each other tomorrow again. It's a 7 o'clock face-off, 6:30 pregame across the radio network if you can't make it, but we'd love to have you down at the BB&T Center, 954-835-PuckFloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets, so we hope to see you out there. But talking to a lot of the players over the course of the last couple of weeks, really since this run of games against the Lightning began in the late stages of the preseason, the guys seem to be of the belief that, hey, if you're going to play a team this many times to wrap up the preseason, to get tuned up, and to dive headfirst into the regular season, the Tampa Bay Lightning are a pretty good team to match up against. Chance. It's a real measuring stick game. It's a team that, you know, in a competitive Atlantic division, this is a team that you're going to have to go through, no doubt about it. And a chance to just get in there and get right into that mid-season form, that speed of the regular season right away, if you will, against one of the fastest, most skilled teams out there in Tampa Bay. So a chance to see this matchup once again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in Sunrise, folks. You don't want to miss it. But had a chance to catch up earlier today, sit down and chat with one of the newest Panthers. Again, a part of that big July 1st free agent class that the Panthers brought in. You had Sergei Bobrovsky, you had Brett Connolly, defenseman Anton Strahlman, Noel Achari also added to the mix. And just to give you a quick background here of Noel Achari, this is a guy who came up through the Boston Bruins system. He was a part last year of their team that went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So he comes in having played a lot of big games in his young career. He led a very physical Boston Bruins team in hits last season. You can expect to see him on the penalty kill throughout the year. You can expect to see him involved in the physical play. You can expect to see him winning a lot of faceoffs for the Panthers this season. This is a guy who does a lot of little things out there, a lot of those little things that add up, and not always things that show up front and center on the box score, but a lot of things that add up that are going to help you win hockey games. And again, for a young guy, comes in with a lot of experience, having gone to the Stanley Cup Finals with Boston last year. Had a chance to chat with him. This is a guy who I think is going to be a real favorite of a lot of Panthers fans, so you want to get introduced to Noel Achari. Had a chance to talk to him earlier today, and the first thing I asked him was how it felt, even though the Panthers didn't get the result they were looking for, how it felt to get that first game out of the way, and how it felt to really feel that game speed against the Tampa Bay Lightning last night.
And it was good to get out there with these guys, first game regular season. Yeah, like you said, it wasn't the way we wanted, but I thought we played a really good game. I mean, we had a couple bad bounces on their power play. I mean, you gotta give them credit, they have a good power play, and if you take a penalty, they're gonna make you pay for it. So but I think overall we played well as a team. I mean, first time in a game-like situation as a whole, but I think there were a lot of positives out of that. I think we're going to keep that up going into Saturday.
And obviously a team that you're going to be matched up with throughout the season. They're a team in your division, tough matchup, but do you like that matchup right out of the gate to kind of dive in head first, I guess, to the grind of the season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're the top team last year in the league, and to be able to just kind of test us out early is good. And knowing that it came down to special teams last night, I mean, it was good for us as a team. I mean, I think that we're only going to get better. And seeing them already four times since the preseason, I think we have a feel for what they do. And I think Saturday's going to be a different game.
Well, a couple things on that. First of all, how much are you looking forward to your first home opener as a Panther? Home opener is always a big night, but your first one with the team, how excited are you?
Oh, I'm very excited. You know, I'm excited. Like, stepped on the ice yesterday with these guys, and I'm excited to step at the BB&T Center for the first time in front of the home crowd as regular season, and just really excited to get it going and have some fun this year.
And to throw on that Panthers sweater for the first time in a regular season game, we talked about it after the first intermission on the night of the season opener, but just now that you've had a chance to kind of soak it in, what did it mean for you to throw that jersey on for the first time?
It's an awesome feeling. These guys, like I've said since the beginning, have been so welcoming. The organization's been great to me and my family, and you know, it's an honor to throw it on and have the opportunity to put it on, and going to try not to disappoint.
And you're a newcomer to the lineup. I guess just in terms of breaking down your story a little bit and how you got here, I guess first, just looking at last spring, you were a part of some big games down the stretch there with Boston late last year. How would you say that experience in the playoffs last year and being a part of that team through that run last year helped you grow as a hockey player?
You know, it helped me immensely. I mean, we were such a special team last year, and, you know, we were 60 minutes away from a Stanley Cup, but you know, I took a lot out of the whole experience with that, and I'm hoping I can share that with these guys. I mean, this is a playoff caliber team, and you know, once everything starts clicking and once we all start getting used to each other, and I really think that this team can be a factor in the playoffs, and I'd like to share what I've learned. I know Cons has been there, Bob was there last year, Cons won a Stanley Cup 2 years ago, and just kind of share what we've learned and not take anything for granted. I mean, because you don't know when you'll be back there, and you just gotta be excited for the moment and just play, leave it all out there.
And you were a part of the Bruins, obviously, with a couple of the most respected names, I think, in hockey. When you look at guys like Zdeno Chara, guys like Patrice Bergeron, and the careers that they've had and the leaders that they are, whether it's those guys, anybody else, that was there a guy that really made an impression on you as a young player coming up?
You know, like you said, Bergie and Z, I mean, they're your ideal leaders, but you need everyone to lead. I mean, Marshy was a great leader. Kretsch, Tuukka. I mean, I could keep going. David Backes, such a team guy, such a great guy, and the list goes on. But you need that to be a winning team. You need everyone to get along. You need the leaders. You need everyone to speak up. You could be the oldest guy on the team or the youngest guy on the team. Your opinion matters. So. You know, what I've learned from those guys, I'm going to try and share it here. And I, like I said earlier, like just jumping in this locker room when I first came, they were so accepting and how close this group was. It's had the same kind of feeling to Boston. And, you know, I'm just excited for the season to start and see what we can do here.
You mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky. And in the brief time now that you guys have been teammates, is there anything you've, I guess, looked at with his game that's maybe impressed you, that you've gotten to see more of, obviously, now that he's your teammate compared to when you played against him?
Yeah, he's very diligent. I mean, he is so focused all the time. And he always has a smile. And again, you don't see that when you're playing against him because he's just so in the zone. But just to see how he prepares, and it's unbelievable. He's so diligent with everything he does, and just focused. And it's awesome to see that. And you know, and he's a great goaltender, two-time Vezina for a reason. And you know, I'm excited to have him on my side.
And just breaking down your own game, if you had to give the Nolichari scouting report, how would you sum it up? I know you're a guy that you excel in a lot of those, you know, in doing a lot of those little things that add up over the course of the game, the face-offs, the hits, the physical play, the penalty killing. Are those some of the things you take pride in? And I guess if you had to break it all down, how would you sum it up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm going to block as many shots as I possibly can. I'm going to throw the hits. I'm going to be hard to play against with our line. And we want to shut down top lines if we get the matchup against them. I mean, and gives Barkey, Daddy, and Hoobs just time to play against someone else and give them extra looks against different lines. Let us take care of the top lines and make sure that shut them down. And I think as a line, we would take pride in that and making sure that, okay, we kept them off the score sheet in the game.
And something I always ask a lot of the guys when they come down to Florida for the first time, have you thought yet about what it's going to be like when it's January, February, and you're still going to the rink in a T-shirt and shorts?
You know, these guys have been telling me, it's just wait till January, February. It cools down a little bit, but you're still going to – and I'm so excited. I love a nice shorts, T-shirt, and flip-flops. If I could wear that year-round, I would, and now I can. So I'm excited for that. But I'm really excited for this year to kick off, and just kind of these guys have been great to me, the coaches, organization. Just it's been great so far, and I'm excited where this is headed.
And just to tie it all back to the here and now, I guess if you had to look at this matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up in the home opener, what are going to be the big keys for you guys coming right out off the opening faceoff?
I think just keeping it simple. I mean, and being hard on the puck. I think they're a good transition team, and we got to stay off the we got to keep our penalties to a minimum. They can capitalize. They have one of the best power plays in the league, and if we can do that, I think we'll have a good shot.
And the last thing here, a pretty road-heavy month of October, only four home games this month. Is that that time on the road something that can really give the team a chance to gel here in the early part of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just you're closer with the guys, and it just gives you a more chance to get to know them better and have the dinners with them. And, you know, and I think we're all excited for that, just to try to, like you said, gel more. And I think that down the road will help out a lot.
Like hearing there from Nolichari, I think you're right. He's going to be a fan favorite. I also noticed that his keys to tomorrow night's return matchup with the Lightning, the second end of the home and home, we could say, very similar to what Randy Moeller prescribed as the keys, especially staying out of the penalty box. I mean, that's a team, the Lightning, can really make you pay on a man advantage.
They had the top power play in the National Hockey League last season. They also had the top penalty kill in the National Hockey League, so they were very sound on special teams a year ago. That's why big reason why they won 62 games in the regular season last year. But the Panthers, a chance to rebound against the Lightning tomorrow night. night in the home opener, 7 o'clock, 6:30 across the radio network. If you can't make it onto the game, but we'd love to see you there, 954-835-PUCK, floridapanthers.com for tickets.
When we come back, we're going to hear from a man who does a really great job for the Associated Press, Tim Reynolds. He covers the Miami Heat, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida Panthers very closely. I've seen Tim at so many hockey games over the last few years. I want to get his perspective, Doug, not only on the team itself, but kind of where they fit into that South Florida landscape. I think you can give a lot of perspective on that. So Tim Reynolds will join us when we come back. You're listening to Panthers Preview here on 560 The Joe. Alex Dono and Doug Plagans getting you ready for a season to come. Well, 81 more games to come in the regular season, that is, as the Panthers did open up last night in Tampa Bay. But we go back out to the hotline and bring in a good friend of mine and a really good friend to the 560 The Joe family. You hear this guy a lot on our Hurricanes coverage. Of course, covers the Miami Heat very closely. And the Florida Panthers as well. Seen this man at a lot of Panthers games. He is Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press. Tim, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Doing very well. And Tim, you're going to bring a lot of valuable perspective, I think. You've covered a lot of...
Oh, my God, that's funny, Dougie. That's so funny.
Let me start, Tim, with your expectation for this Panthers season, keeping in mind what they added during the offseason, did have a rough start against Tampa Bay last night. But, well, what are you expecting this team to accomplish this year?
Well, I mean, I've been, I like to post, gifts of the cup. That's, I think this is a playoff team. I think, one, they went out and got the best goalie, and two, they got the best coach. And I don't know if Bob, I don't know if we can say that Bob is one of the five best to ever do it. I think that's a stretch. But we can say that about Q. And, I think he's one of the five best to ever stand on a bench at the NHL level. So you went out and you got a Pat Riley-type coach. And you put him, by the way, with a Pat Riley-type executive. Dale never got as much credit as he deserved for what he did with the Blackhawks, what he and Q were going to do together. With the Blackhawks, in my preview that moved a couple of weeks ago, I said this team's going to win a playoff series, and I'm not just saying it for fun. This team's going to win a playoff series, and if healthy at the end, health is everything, we all know that. If healthy at the end, this team has the potential to be the last team standing. And how awesome is that to say after the last however many years it's been of waiting for the Panther franchise to get that opportunity.
Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press here with us. Tim, we had you on the Territory Talk podcast. Jameson Olive and I did right after the announcement of Joel Quenneville, and we covered so many different topics about this Panthers team. And I know one of our favorite topics to cover with you is we talk a lot about the new additions, but a guy who is returning to the Panthers and who is the cornerstone really of the franchise, the captain, Alexander Barkov. When you look at his career trajectory, it sounds cliche, but the sky really is the limit for him. You've covered sports down here for a long time. Can you compare his rise really to anybody else's?
So his rise, I think, has been more drawn out. Like Dwayne won a championship in his third year, for example. And I'm not saying that, not comparing Barkey to that. But you saw, the Heat would have gone to the finals probably in Dwayne's second year if he doesn't get hurt against Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that was a different team. They had Shaquille. It was just different. Barkey last year is flirting with a 100-point season. On a line with a bunch of guys who are flirting with 100-point seasons, we knew what the ceiling was with Dwayne. And Dwayne got there. For a couple of years, Dwayne Wade was, and I will argue this with anybody, the best player in the world. Alexander Barkov isn't there yet, but it's awesome to see that he is still... There's no reason why he can't be that guy. And he has gotten better every single year. And I think having the C on his sweater already for a year, Dougie, I think that's going to help him so much. In that, that's a big burden. Like, we don't get that as mere mortals who are just around this team, covering this team. If you're a fan of this team, wearing the C in hockey just means so much more than being a captain of a softball team or of anything else. This is a really big deal, and you grow into that role too. I think Barkey grew into that role last year we still don't know what his ceiling is, and he's already pretty darn good, as we all know.
You know, I'm always thrilled when I'm doing, you know, talk shows that aren't necessarily Panther-centric, and when I'm talking about big stars in the South Florida sports scene, and listeners will tell me, don't forget about Alexander Barkov. So I know he's not flying maybe under the radar as much as I sometimes think he is. I also know, Tim, that this is not a traditional hockey market. I think that the fandom will grow into it once the team starts winning. But as far as Barkov, even beyond what he does on the ice, do you think he has the potential to become a big star off the ice, like we saw the superstar Dwayne Wade turned into? I think Jimmy Butler has that type of potential now that he's with the Miami Heat. What sort of stardom do you think Barkov can reach if the team really clicks and South Florida sports fans get to know this guy a little bit more?
They could win the next five cups, and I don't think he'll reach stardom. And here's why. He doesn't want it. And it doesn't make you a bad person to not want it. But Barkey is never going to be that guy. Like, I mean, today they announced he's doing something incredible this year. And I was not asked to plug this, FYI. He's doing something incredible this year. He's giving $1,600 for every goal is going to the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. I think I got that right. So if I got it wrong, I apologize. But I think I got all the wording right on that. $1,600 a goal he's doing. And that's classic Barkey. It comes out in a really benign press release. No big media blitz about it. No big media campaign about it. Oh, hey, Barkey's doing this. And you know he's doing a lot of other things that we're not hearing about. He's just that kind of guy. He wants to be able to ride his bike on the street in Boca. And if you stop and say hi to him, he'll be nice and polite to you. But there's different types of superstar. There's the superstar that wants to be out front, the superstar that feels like it's his duty to be out front to represent this product, and this movement, and that cause. Barkey just does it a different way. Barkey wants to do it in a much quieter fashion, and I think that's okay.
Tim Reynolds here with us. Tim, got to ask you, going back to a new addition to this Panthers team, what excites you most about Sergei Bobrovsky?
Best one of the best three in the game, if not the best. The thing that I think that Panther fans should forget the skill. We all know he's a really good goalie. Okay, that's great. And there was a point where Lou's body told him that Lou can't be Lou 50 nights anymore. I still think Lou could have come back this year. I think Lou could have been very effective. I when they got Bob, I kind of wondered, does Lou come back and play the other 15 games? I mean, look, Bob wants to play 65, 70 games. And that's the point I'm making, is that it's rare to find a goalie who wants to play. If Q let him play all 82, he would. Like, he just wants to be on the ice constantly. Doesn't like days off. His work, I mean, Alexander Barkov's work ethic. Diehard Panther fans know what that is. I think the casual hockey fan, the casual sport fan in South Florida is figuring out what Barkey's work ethic is and how he sort of took the ball that Yach, you know, showed him. This is how you really work as a pro. And I think Barkey has raised the bar even from what Yag showed him in Jaromir's time here. Bob might work as hard as Barkey. And that's insane to think. For goalies don't do that. Goalies are doing a lot of stuff off the ice. Bob, I mean, look at Jameson's Twitter feed every day. Or you know, a lot of the guys who cover the team, they just make up drills on the fly. Bob sees things that he wants to work on. You can't get him off the ice. Like, they need to pull him off. Like, the Zamboni one of these days is going to hitch a chain to him and literally pull him off the ice after practice. He's a worker. And I think the South Florida sports fan, we're not looked at as a blue-collar city. We're not looked at as a blue-collar region. But I think the South Florida sports fan really likes that blue-collar approach in their guys, like the Udonis Haslam type guy. That's another thing they're going to like about Bob.
And it's funny because I did kind of want to ask you a comparison question to the Miami Heat, but it really does feel different. The example that Barkov sets, that the Panthers feel more like a blue-collar team than the Miami Heat usually do, although with Dwayne Wade being out of the picture, maybe they are a little bit more blue-collar. But like, can you compare the excitement or anticipation level for this year's Florida Panthers to any Heat team you've covered in recent memory? Is there any comparison to make there?
Well, I think there's still a little bit of show me, don't tell me. You know, I think there's still a little bit of that. Like, okay, every year we're optimistic. Every year this is going to be the year. You know, we've got Yager, we've got Lou, we've got Pavel Bure. We can go back that far. I mean, you know, there's always a little bit of optimism this time of year. And then, you know, we unfortunately have, I think, the casual fan down here has gotten used to, you know, seeing the playoff hopes go away pretty quickly. That won't be the case this year, obviously. But I do think there's a parallel, Donald, between the Heat this year and the Panthers this year. Maybe the philosophies in general aren't that different. Sports couldn't be more different, obviously. But the Heat, the Pat Riley mantra really takes hold. When you look at the Pat Riley mantra and then you try to apply it to the Panthers, hardest working, best conditioned, toughest, nastiest, most disliked, most hated team in the NBA, that's what the Panthers want to be in the NHL. They are the hardest working right now. They don't seem like they could be working a lot harder. They want you, the toughest team in hockey, the most disciplined team in hockey, that team usually hoists a cup. That's what they want to get to. I'm not saying the Heat set the example for the Panthers, but I think there's a lot more parallels in the visions of the franchises than we give them credit for. I think a lot of their, like I said, wildly different. Obviously, the dynamics between Jimmy Butler and a Barkey, I mean, it's just, you can't compare them. But the fundamental belief that Pat Riley and Dale Talon share, it's not that far off.
This man does excellent work with the Associated Press. He's Tim Reynolds. You want to follow him on Twitter at By Tim Reynolds. Tim, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Well, I'll talk to you very shortly tomorrow during Hurricanes pregame. So get some rest before tomorrow.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, I will be hydrated and stick caps to you both.
Love it. So a big 8 o'clock hour coming up a little bit later on. We're going to hear from Ed Jovanovsky. We're going to hear from Jeff Chychrun. We're going to hear from Jameson Olive. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Florida Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell. He will join us next here on our Panthers preview on 560 The Joe.
You're listening to Panthers Preview on AM 560 The Joe, WQAM, Miami's home for the Florida Panthers, a radio.com station.
Hour number two of Panthers Preview. Alex Dono alongside Doug Plagans, the radio voice of the Cats. And later on this hour, we'll talk with Jeff Chychrun. We'll talk with Ed Jovanovsky. But joining us now, Florida Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell is on the hotline. Matt, good evening to you. And I'm guessing you're a little bit excited for a certain home opener tomorrow night when the Panthers welcome in the Lightning.
Yeah, sure I am, man. It's we're really fired up. We've had a really big off season, and you know, it's been a long time coming to make sure we get the right pieces to add to this good core that we have, and you know, we just think we got the right team in place. And the buzz around town with season ticket holders and sponsors and, you know, community partners has been, you know, phenomenal. So we can't wait to get going. The crowd's going to be great tomorrow night. So we can't wait to, you know, 7 o'clock puck drop.
And, Matt, you used that word right there, buzz, and I was going to ask you just to elaborate on that, really, since the announcement of Joel Quenneville, since the big splash that the team made in free agency on July 1st, and as we've ramped up to the season with so many other exciting announcements, can you even really quantify or put into words the buzz that you've seen really overtake not just our market and our sports landscape here, but, you know, the Panthers have kind of become one of the talks of the hockey world?
Yeah, they sure have. It's been a national story. You know, last year was a disappointment. You know, there was high expectations going into the season, and you know, 2 years ago we had a great finish, and we thought we'd build on that. And you know, last year was disappointing, but you know, we just felt that the team was better than what we displayed, and to have a coach like Joel on, you know, out in the market, you know, great goalie out there, and some other free agents that we picked up, we couldn't pass up the opportunity. So it's really been, it was kind of a, you know, it felt like, you know, every month there was a big announcement, right? Right after the season, the Monday after the season, we had the announcement of the coach, and then we had a good draft, got Spencer Knight, you know, star, you know, college goalie, you know, so we brought him on, then we had Sergei Bobrovsky, Anton Stroman, and the rest of the folks, and it just felt like it was a great kind of gradual thing through the offseason, where it was like every couple of weeks there was some good news to announce. So it all worked out great, and you know, tickets and fans and everything else has been, you know, flying off the shelf, so it's been really good.
And I got to ask you too. There are so many exciting, theme nights and things like that going on around the arena. Of course, tomorrow the home opener. But as this season goes on, all the things that fans can expect, the territory takeover Saturdays, I know, are going to be huge this season. The $5 beer nights are back by popular demand. You've got the Nacho Tots Tuesdays that are in the fold for this year. Just how exciting are some of these big promotional nights coming up throughout the year?
Yeah, they're great. Listen, nothing tops winning, right? Nothing tops a fun team on the ice. But we also pride ourselves on just trying to have a great client service and great, experience for people. So you mentioned a number of them. The territory takeovers are awesome because, everyone knows, I think, that we're real, dedicated to helping the community. And every Saturday night we're going to have a certain city or, town, neighborhood, within South Florida that we want to highlight and invite folks from that particular city. So, that's something we pride ourselves on. And, you mentioned some of the other promotions there that are great. $5 beers on Thursdays is awesome. And, we try to do fun theme nights and just, appeal to people that may not have gone to a hockey game otherwise, but they see that we're trying to hit them from a different angle. So, it should be good.
We're joined by Florida Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell. Matt, I'm a big fan of the Funky Buddha partnership. I've put away more of their beers over the years than I care to admit. I'm a big fan of the Gloves Off IPA, and you're telling me there's a Gloves Off 2 this year. There's a sequel to the Gloves Off.
Yeah, there sure is. And our staff is really jacked up. It's been an incredible partnership. It's a local brewery, very popular in Fort Lauderdale. Our staff has gotten involved with, taste testings and, trying to give feedback and help out with what would be great. I know Sean Thornton is, a big contributor to Funky Buddha and helping them, design a second round two beer for us. So it's been really cool, putting the signage and the bar and the money aside. It's just been a great, genuine, I think, just partnership between the two companies. So, that's really exciting.
And some other really exciting partnerships to talk about. And going from Funky Buddha, who makes that great beer that is going to be coming out here, to True Vodka, the True Vodka Lounge, a new partnership as well with the Panthers, and that's going to be a luxury seating and dining option. If you could elaborate a little bit on what fans can expect from the True Vodka Lounge.
Yeah, definitely. I think it just goes to the big offseason that we've been talking about, but we've been able to sit down with a number of corporate sponsors and see ways to activate their brand and in the arena. So True Vodka is another big one. They'll be on the club level, all season ticket holders will have access to it. Great food inside. We've redone the whole club. It looks beautiful in there. I credit their team for all the creative they put in there. In addition to True Vodka and Funky Buddha, we're going to have City Furniture. I just checked that out today. Near patio, right outside, as you approach the arena, for people to go outside and eat and drink. So it's nice to see all these brands investing in us. Ultimate Software, many people are familiar with them. They're based in Weston. They're going to be taking over our suite level. So you're going to see a lot of new fresh brands in the arena. It's just a good signal of growth for us.
Something the Panthers do really well are the watch parties, and I know that a lot of the folks, Doug, that hit us up for the world-famous Twitter segment, if they're not at the home games, they're going to watch parties for the road games to sort of gather with other Panther fans. And tell me, Matt, about this new rewards program. I like this, that fans can track how many watch parties they've been to. How does that all work?
Yeah, it's awesome. We just had our first one last night where at Funky Buddha. In fact, I was with the team in Tampa when we landed, got off the plane. One of the air traffic controllers, I guess he was doing the late night shift, and he, even though we were all kind of walking off the plane, frustrated that we lost, and he's like, "Hey, the watch party was awesome tonight at Funky Buddha." Just kind of laughing that he was there, and then I guess shot over to help us, come in at Shelt Air, based on your attendance and how much you spend at the watch parties and all, we give you access to points or prizes and stuff that we have at the arena. So come out, engage with us. You know, we're all about, you know, following us on social media, coming to our events. The more you do with us, the more we try to give back to you.
And, Matt, so many exciting things going on with the team on the ice, so much excitement as far as the entertainment around the arena, and the organization obviously strives to provide that each and every night. But I know the Panthers organization also holds the South Florida community near and dear, and especially through the Panthers Foundation, whether it's causes that support children, our veterans, the Florida Panther itself, youth hockey. These are all very important initiatives. I guess going into this season, just summarizing all that, you know, just what can fans expect to see from the Panthers Foundation again this season, and I guess just how important will that those initiatives all continue to be?
Yeah, they're front and center for us. I always talk about our vision, you know, for the franchise, and it's all about being in the community. So this will be our fourth season, you know, doing this program, where every single game we will donate $25,000 to a foundation nonprofit that, you know, falls in the areas that you just discussed. So big commitment from ownership, big commitment from all the money that we raised out in the community, and we put it right to work. So we're going to continue that this year. We're going to have a casino night at the arena in November. We're going to have our traditional cats and cocktails dinner in January, February time frame. So it'll be good. I mean, we're just you know, no matter what happens on the ice, wins and losses, we continue to invest in the community.
Great stuff here from Florida Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell. Matt, we appreciate the time as always, and I'm very excited for the home opener tomorrow, as I'm sure you are. So we'll see you at the rink tomorrow night.
Thank you, Matt.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there, and it's always nice to hear about the community work.
Yep.
Like, I'm always amazed at how much community work is being done, and like how to even keep track of all of it. There's so many things. You mentioned the work being done for preservation of the actual Florida Panther, the actual animal, which I think is cool. It's a great tie into the franchise, and it's always nice to know that, you know, the Panthers really see themselves as stewards in this community, and the work being done is great.
It's so important. Like we said right there, the Panthers obviously strive to provide the best on-ice product, the best in-arena entertainment that you can get down here in South Florida, but also it's off the ice, you know, in the community, all different causes. We hit them right there. The four pillars of the Panthers Foundation are children's health and wellness, the veterans, the Florida Panther itself, and the youth hockey community of South Florida. So those are the four pillars of the Panthers Foundation. That's where a lot of the Panthers community initiatives take place, and this is stuff that's going on every single day, and you know, it's something that there's a great team of people at the BB&T Center and in the Panthers organization that head up a lot of those initiatives every day. But again, that stuff is just so important to us, and goes right there hand in hand with the on ice product itself and the in arena entertainment that fans look forward to seeing every night.
You know, earlier this morning, before I even knew our next guest would be joining us, I just happened to have a conversation, Doug, with a friend of mine who hasn't lived in South Florida for very long, just about how much fun it was going to games and watching the run to the Stanley Cup Finals back in 1996, the year of the rat, throwing the plastic rats on the ice and all that good stuff at the old Miami Arena. And then a couple hours later, I get an email from you and I find out Ed Jovanovsky, a member of that team, has joining us. So Jovo Cop is going to join us next. It's going to be a lot of fun talking with him. It's been a while since I've had a chance to chat with Jovo Cop, so he's going to join us next. You're listening to Panthers Preview here on 560 The Joe.
Welcome back to Panthers Preview. Listen to the Panthers here, AM 560 The Joe, WQAM, a radio.com sports station.
Back here on our Panthers Preview, Alex Dono alongside Doug Plagans, and feels like an after 40. We got Jamison Olive in the building as well.
It's after 8. It's 18 minutes after the hour here in the Eastern time zone.
That'll work. I mean, it's after 40 somewhere, right? In some time zone, maybe.
Oh, it always is. I almost didn't make it the whole time I was listening on the drive down here. Like, we had Jamison coming in studio, and I was like, I don't know about that. I hope. So I'm glad to be here.
And at some point, we're expecting to be joined by Ed Jovanovsky. But until then, you know, Jamison, you know, we of course spoke during the second intermission last night, and man, I really got optimistic in the third period when Vincent Trocheck scored that shorthanded goal to tie things up at two, and then of course big momentum shifter when Tampa Bay got the power play goal shortly thereafter. So, you know, a little bit disappointing last night, but the good news for the Cats is get a chance at immediate redemption, right? Because 48 hours later, home opener tomorrow night, you welcome in the same Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's 81 games left, so no one's panicking. No one's, you know, freaking out right now. There's a ton of time left, a ton of positives to take away from the last game. But you mentioned the last game, kind of the ebbs and flows. Trocheck shorthanded a goal. You felt like things might be coming together there. Quenneville talked about it today. He said, you know, that could have been a turning point, but then they scored a couple seconds after that to go back up 3-2. But I talked about, you know, a couple guys in the past about this. There's just something about when you're feeling it, you're feeling it. You go back to when the team made the playoffs in 2016. You go back to two seasons ago when they were the best team in the league in the second half. Players said on those, when they were on those real good stretch runs, there was just something about what, no matter what the score was, they felt like they were going to win. And they ended up winning a lot of those games. And it just feels like all this team needs to do with the pieces they have is win a couple games here at the start of the season, and they'll get that mentality. And you just play so much better when you have that mentality, especially when you have a young team, a passionate team, led by guys like Trocheck, Barkov, and Huberto.
And speaking on Barkov, guys, I liked his comments after the game where he talked about how this team needs to learn how to win. And you know, it makes a lot of sense with a team that, you know, doesn't have a recent track record of playoff success, and they haven't been a top team in the NHL like the Tampa Bay Lightning have been in recent years. So I think it's actually pretty good self sort of introspection and transparency for the captain of the club to say that, you know, we really need to learn how to win tough games and grind out tough games. And obviously a team like Tampa Bay is a great measuring stick for that.
Yeah, the way I look at it is there's a difference between a team that can win games and a winning team. A winning team goes into the season, and no matter what happens, no matter who they're putting out there, you got a good feeling they're going to win more games than they lose. And the Panthers, just with the, you know, ups and downs over the years, they haven't really established that for themselves yet out there. So for Barkov to say that, I think he's, you know, hit it right on the nose. This is a team that needs to, you know, they can go win games. They have all the talent in the world. They have one of the best coaches in the league, but they need to go out there now and prove it. They need to win some games consecutively and get that mentality, like I was talking about before, of just that no matter what happens, they're going to come out on top. And I just love the passion from Barkov there. Didn't want to talk about the positives, really. Just said, right, you know what? There was a chance for 2 points. We didn't come away with any. Let's turn the page. Let's get them in the home opener.
I mean, what did you guys think were the positives last night? I mean, the Panthers obviously were really good at even strength. Now, the Tampa Bay power plays, whether it was power play goals or goals that happened like seconds after a power play expired, but even strength was a different story.
I got to say, generating chances, they got a lot of chances, especially in the first two periods. Sergei Bobrovsky made some huge saves last night, and that's going to be something fans can expect all season long. There was certainly a lot of speed. Tampa Bay brings a lot of speed, and the Panthers and the Lightning were going back and forth, punch for punch, really. So I think overall, a lot of positives you can take from it. I think at the end of the game, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they managed to capitalize on a few chances, even though the Panthers did outshoot them. The shots, as I always say, it's not always the truest indicator of how a game went, but for the first two periods yesterday, the Panthers had a pretty significant advantage in the shots on net, and that really was an indicator for how the game was going. The Panthers really had the upper hand as far as establishing a tempo last night and as far as zone time. I mean, I didn't have the number in front of me, but I said during the game, just based on the eye test, the Panthers have had a lot more zone time through the first 40 minutes than the Tampa Bay Lightning did a night ago.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the zone time, you look at some of the metrics, shot attempts, things like that. The Panthers, like you said, had a great game, especially at 5-on-5, and it just seemed like the Panthers would dominate for 3, 4, or 5 minutes, and then for a small 30-second window, the Lightning would get their shot and score a goal.
Right.
And that happens like a lot. Like I said, there's 82 games in a hockey season. There's going to be games where the Panthers are on the other end of that, where maybe they don't deserve the 2 points and they get the 2 points. So, like I said, you can't think too much into this first game. We don't know a lot of things, but I think the one thing that really stood out to me was Quenneville talked about going into the season being a four-line team. And you saw that with how the guys are deployed. Quick shifts, a lot of guys in and out off the bench. You check the minutes after the game. Only one forward played under 10 minutes. That was Dryden Hunt, a rookie. And the only reason he was under 10 is because he doesn't play on either special teams unit, not on the power play or the penalty kill. So he definitely is deploying all those units. A lot of guys are getting a chance to shine, and I think that's a recipe for success.
What do you make of, and let me take Bobrovsky out of the equation for a second because he's so obvious. The other newcomers, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact this year?
It's tough to say because they all have impacts in different ways. You look at Nolichari, I think he's going to be huge on the penalty kill, obviously, which wins a ton of games in this league. Brett Connolly, whether he's on the second line, the third line, he gets some time on the second power play unit. He's a guy that scored 22 goals last year, so he's a guy that could definitely chip in a lot on offense, especially at even strength. And then, Anton Strahlman. I thought he was one of the best players on the ice in the game the other night. Incredibly reliable play. The Panthers absolutely dominated possession and tempo when he was out on the ice. Did some great work on the PK as well. So they all do a little bit something different, but they're all little different things you need to win. Putting them all together is what you need to win hockey games. So throwing Bobrovsky, like you said, to that mix, I think all four guys are going to have really big impacts this year.
Yeah, totally. And Strahlman, didn't he have that big, didn't lead to a goal, but close to it, the big stretch pass.
That outlet pass to Evgeny Dadonov.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that to Evgeny Dadonov for that breakaway. Would have been a huge moment, but now before you kind of had Keith Yandle being that guy. So now if you have two guys like that that can throw those big home run passes instead of breakaways, I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, and I like what you said, how you can only read so much into last night, first game of the season. I sometimes battle with the various teams I support because I'm a fan of pretty much every sport out there, from football to soccer to hockey to basketball. And sometimes I can be too much of a prisoner of the moment. And it's a trap, especially when you're talking about an NBA or an NHL team when it's one of 82, that you try not to read too much into one game. Now, there certainly was a sense of disappointment because there is a lot of very founded hype for this Panthers team. I think it's well-deserved hype. And I think the players would reflect this, very disappointed to come away with the result they came away with last night. But I think perspective is important when you're talking about a team that needs some time to gel together. And Tampa Bay is an excellent team in their own right. And guess what? For as disappointing as last night was, you can erase a lot of that by winning tomorrow night at home. But let's go out to the hotline and welcome in our next guest, Ed Jovanovsky. And Ed, it's great that you're on with us, because even before I knew that we would be chatting with you this evening, I just so happened to have a conversation this morning with a friend of mine who hasn't lived in South Florida for very long, and I was explaining to him just how much fun it was being swept away by Panthers mania in 96, the run to the Stanley Cup Finals, the year of the rat, throwing the plastic rats to the ice in the Miami Arena. Some of the most fun I've ever had as a sports fan. And for you being a part of that, was that the most fun you had in your NHL career?
Hey, guys, good evening. I mean, for a player, especially as a teenager coming in and letting, having the, the win streak, I think I missed the first 11 games of that year. And then I think we came back and ripped off 10 or 11 wins in a row. I'm like, man, this is great. And then as the season, rolling along and the team just coming together and finding ways to win. And then obviously, heading into the playoffs and just overcoming every hurdle and getting into the Stanley Cup Finals. Was definitely a memorable experience for myself. And you're right. I mean, I remember driving home from Miami Arena. You know, there was the banners hanging down the light post down 95. So, hockey was, top of everyone's topics.
And Ed, we thank you very much for being here tonight. We can't wait for the home opener tomorrow, and we can't wait to see you throughout the season on Fox Sports Florida. But as we prepare for this season coming up here, obviously we're into the season, one game in, but as we prepare for this home opener tomorrow, going from talking about that 96 team that you were a part of to this 1920 version of the Florida Panthers, what excites you the most about this group, and what really stands out as something that could be a hallmark trait for this team in the 1920 season?
Well, I think, we all know the expectations are high for, for this team. Landed the big fish with Sergei in the summer, giving him an enormous contract and filling that void in net. I think the core group is a step further along. They're an exciting team to play against. I mean, to watch. I think it comes down to wins, for this team. Obviously, tough game last night. Huge game, the opening game tomorrow. Just listening to you guys earlier, I think, it's going to really be a test to see how this team bounces back tomorrow.
Ed Jovanovsky joins us here on our Panthers preview. And what do you make with the way the schedule starts? I mean, right off the bat, a home-and-home with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, you know, for my money on paper, best team in the National Hockey League. Do you like, you know, the iron sharpens iron approach immediately, or would you maybe prefer to ease into it a little bit more?
Well, you're gonna have to play these teams as you go along throughout the season. It is a tough schedule early on. I think I was looking at the schedule. I think the 9 out of the first 13 games are teams that the Panthers that have made the playoffs last year. So it's going to be a good test early on. I think Tampa is a good measuring stick, kind of see where this team is. Kind of battle test it early. I like it.
Eddie, we talked to Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press earlier and asked him specifically about, we've talked a lot about the newcomers to the Panthers, whether it's Joel Quenneville, whether it's the guys who were free agents that were signed on July 1st. But we asked, we like to talk about Alexander Barkov, obviously. He's the cornerstone of this franchise on the ice. He wears the C on his jersey. He's a guy who's gotten better every season. And Alexander Barkov coming into the year, it's not a cliche with him. The sky really is the limit for Alexander Barkov. When you look at his game, what stands out for you the most, and what makes him so special from your perspective?
I think just how reliable of a player he is. I think throughout the season, I think what you're going to see is in every key situation, he's going to get that tap. Not only, he's a guy that produces offensively, but he's just as good in the defensive zone. And I was fortunate enough to play, with him when he first came in, and just watching him evolve as a player has been great to see. And he works at it in practice. He's a good guy to look at by lead, by example. He's not going to come in the room and rah-rah you to death. He's going to go out there, lead by example, and he's going to be a great captain for this team.
Talking with Ed Jovanovsky here on our Panthers preview, Alex Dono, Doug Plagans, and Jameson Olive here in studio. Is there anybody that kind of reminds you of a 2019-2020 version of Ed Jovanovsky when you watch this team?
I think you look at, a committee group. I mean, I don't think there's one guy. I mean, I just get the puck, move it ahead. And I think you look at the defensemen, on this group, I really look into Aaron to have, a year that he can take that next step. I know the numbers-wise, he's produced, really setting the tone back there. And obviously being, from Belle River, close to where I grew up, I have that close relationship to him. But, I really look into Aaron to have a good year for him.
And last thing for me here, Jovo, just in terms of your excitement level as you're going to be on the desk on Fox Sports Florida this season, how excited are you to be able to watch the games and cover the games from that perspective now? What are you looking forward to most there?
Well, Doug, yeah, thanks. I'm excited to get back in the fold. I mean, it's been – handful of years that kind of been sitting off to the side. And one thing that I realize is, you miss the game, and you're still continually watching the game as a fan. And now to be able to cover it, I'm excited. And what makes it more exciting is, the team, the group that they have. I'm really looking forward to seeing this team take that next step. And playoffs is a big thing. I know it's so far ahead, but we're starving for some playoffs here. And I look at this group to make that step. So that makes me excited, and a great team that I'm working with. So I appreciate the opportunity that everyone's given me.
And we're excited to watch you on Fox Sports Florida. Great stuff here from the man they call Jovo Cop, Ed Jovanovsky. Thank you so much for taking some time, and enjoy the season.
All right, guys. Thanks. See you around the rink.
Love it. Love it, and happy to have his familiar face and voice on the set on Fox. It's going to be fun watching him as well, Doug.
No question. Can't wait to see him on TV throughout the year, and of course, was such a fun player to watch during his time in the game. Hit harder than anybody in the league.
Oh, my God.
And there's a reason they called him Jovo Cop. And again, just really looking forward to working with him this season, and should be a lot of fun. I know whenever you talk to Panthers fans out there, mentioning the name Ed Jovanovski, that's one of the names that gets the biggest rise out of any Panthers fan, especially those who've been following this team down here in South Florida since the mid-90s. So I know the fans are excited. Jovo's excited. We're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, a lot more to come here on this Panthers preview as we're not only getting you set for the home opener tomorrow night, but for a big season to come. Jeff Chychrun is going to join us next. Alex Dono alongside Doug Plagans and Jameson Olive. Our Panthers preview continues next here on 560 The Joe.
You're listening to Panthers Preview on AM 560 The Joe, WQAM, Miami's home for the Florida Panthers, a radio.com station.
Back here on Panthers Preview, Alex Dono alongside Doug Plagans and Jameson Olive, getting you set for big season to come. Well, season that did start last night, but home opener tomorrow night at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, as the Panthers will welcome in the Tampa Bay Lightning, the return matchup of a home and home. But excited to bring on another guest. Now, in the previous segment, we spoke to Ed Jovanovski, who's new to the Fox Sports Florida telecast. We can say the same about our next guest, Jeff Chychrun, who joins us now. Jeff, how you doing this evening?
Hey, very good. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for joining us. And let's start here. Your expectations for the season. I know it was a little bit of a bump in the road last night against Tampa Bay, but certainly high expectations for the Panthers given what they've added in the offseason.
Absolutely. But isn't that why we play 82 of these every year, right?
Yes.
I think that, like I said last night, I really like how this team has been constructed and the patience they've used. I think, they've obviously built through the draft. They've done a great job developing some of their draft picks, and not just the first and second round picks, but like I said last night, a couple sixth and seventh round picks that are on the blue line starting last night. You sprinkle in the free agent, big free agent acquisitions and the Stanley Cup pedigree coach like Joel, and what's not to be excited about?
Jeff Chychrun here with us, new to the Fox Sports Florida team. And Jeff, as we look at this team, we talk about dissecting it there, one game in. Your view on opening up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, three straight preseason games against them and two games right out of the gate against them. They're an Atlantic Division team. Do you look at it as, hey, this is a team that you're going to have to go through, so you may as well test the waters with them right away?
100%. I was joking. It's like a mini playoff series to start the preseason and then regular season off. But absolutely, to play in your cross-state rival, a club that's had success over the last year, but they've been in the playoffs a lot in recent memory and have had some quality runs. I think it's a great test. I mean, you may as well jump in with both feet and play against some of the best competition. They had a heck of a regular season last year, did the Lightnings, and I think there's a lot for them to prove. That they're probably reeling a little bit from that four game exit last year. But listen, I thought it was a good road game last night. I thought the first two periods the club was excellent. I think Panthers had 29 shots in the first two periods. The third period, maybe there's a little bit of penalty trouble. I think you look at Kucherov's first goal, that was that was a 6-on-5. Shattenkirk was at the end of a penalty. Palat's goal was another power play. Trocheck obviously scored it on a shorthanded goal, which was big for us. But perhaps that got us in a little bit of trouble. But other than that, I thought there was some really good things the Panthers accomplished last night, and something to build on going into tomorrow night's game.
Hey, Jeff Jameson here. Just kind of as a former defenseman yourself, how do you kind of assess the Panthers' D-core that seems like it has a real mix of everything when you go from veterans like Keith Yandel to more up-and-comers like Aaron Ekblad, Mike Matheson, those type of guys?
It does. I think Ekblad and Matheson obviously have some history playing together from last year, which I think is a good setup. They're both good with the puck.
Matheson skates so well, he can get up and down, and Aaron has that offensive upside to him. I think that's really, really good. I think the Stroman-Uyghur combination, it's interesting that it's two righties, but they're going to do a great job in their own zone and make that quality first pass and keep us out of trouble. The really interesting one, I think, is Josh Brown and Keith Yandel. I think Joel really liked what he saw. I think Joel was really happy with Yandel's preseason. I thought he was really good in his own zone, and of course offensively, but he thought his reads were great. And he thinks the partnership with Josh Brown will really, you know, he likes Brown's size and predictability in his game, but he thinks he's versatile in that he skates so well, and there's a lot of upside on the in his offensive game as well. And Mark Pisick, of course, he's waiting to jump in and get his opportunity. So I like the look of the blue line.
And talking about one guy individually in there, in the course of these couple hours that we've been on, we've talked about Joel Quenneville. We've talked about Sergei Bobrovsky. We heard from Noel Achary earlier on in the evening. Another guy who was a part of that big July 1st free agent class is Anton Strahlman. And you mentioned him right there, Jeff, but when you look at a guy like that, he's played a lot of big games over the course of his career. He's played on a lot of good teams. He's so fundamentally sound. He's one of those guys who seems like he could really play with anybody out there, and he just seems to calm things down. How big can that addition be for the Panthers this season?
Well, I think it's huge, and I believe he's a very similar player to what Joel Quenneville had in Chicago, I would say, to Nick Jalmerson, although one's a right shot, one's a left shot, but they have that Swedish background. They both make that first good pass extremely well. They bring a sense of confidence and communication to the defensive zone and in working with the goaltenders, and I think that really helps eliminate one area of concern when those players are on the ice. You know you're going to get the puck out of your own zone, and you know you're going to be able to get on the attack just because of their pedigree in the back end.
We're talking with Jeff Chychrun, a new addition to the desk on Fox Sports Florida. So very happy to have your insight. And something I'm curious about on a personal level, of course, you spent eight seasons in the NHL. Your son, Jacob, is now in the NHL. Well, what's it like after having your own career, now watching your son embarking on his career? What's it like sort of seeing it now from a father's perspective?
Yeah, it's a different set of emotions, that's for sure. I'm so proud of him. He's had a couple of injuries that he's really worked hard to get back from, and I'm really proud of the place he's got himself into today. But it's funny, those parental emotions, you know, as a pro hockey player, you really try to eliminate riding that roller coaster. You know, not too high with the wins, not too low with the losses, and really don't try to ride every other shift with the ups and downs. But it's funny, as a parent, I really have to make myself not wear my emotions on my sleeve and just try to sit back and enjoy it, because it is so enjoyable, but it's really tough. You know, we can't get out there and make that first hit. We can't get out there and make that first shot on goal and just sort of relax. You're kind of on edge the whole game, but it's a joy to watch. There's no doubt about it.
And the last thing for me, Jeff, being a part of these Fox Sports Florida telecast this season, what are you most looking forward to being on the desk this season?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, after the first night, I'm loving my two new partners in Craig and Jovo. The camaraderie I find that's on the set is I think we've built something already, and really just looking at the game from a different perspective I feel I'm here to really pump the tires of the hockey club, and that's something I'm really looking forward to, getting to know everybody in the organization and then just following them and really, really cheering them on throughout the season with a little more personal contact than I might have had in the past.
We appreciate the insight you add, Jeff Chychrun. Great stuff here, Jeff, and enjoy the season.
Thanks, Doug. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
Love it. And it was great having both him and Jovo on to sort of get that new orientation with the guys added to the desk this year.
Great to hear from both of them, of course. And we've got about 8 minutes or so left here in the program. And Jameson here, we did on Territory Talk this week. And if you haven't checked out the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, floridapanthers.com/territorytalk, go check it out. But this week, we laid out some of our big predictions for the year.
Ooh.
And we were going to get to some of these coming down the stretch in the show, since and I know we've already put a few of them out there on Territory Talk, but I wanted to throw those out there again. Wanted to get Alex's predictions for the year. We have a couple of key categories that we're going to hit. Alex said he was going to at 7 o'clock, about 7:03 Eastern tonight on a Friday. Alex Dono said he was going to start manufacturing a, quote, hot take. And I am interested in what an hour and 44 minutes later you've been able to drum up over there.
You know, my idea, Jameson, was totally off the wall that maybe Sergei Bobrovsky would have so many passes down the ice that he would lead the team in assists this year. I don't know. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of starts in net. I mean, he, as Tim Reynolds mentioned, he would want to start all 82 games if Coach Q would allow him to.
So, maybe should we wait until if we're gonna be with you all here until about 8:55? Should we wait until about 8:53:30 for Alex's hot take of the season?
Let's keep
everybody hanging by a thread.
Yeah, I like it.
for the next few minutes. Let's get first right into the into who we think is going to lead the Panthers in goals this season. Jameson, you and I covered this on Territory Talk. The guy that my prediction to lead the Panthers in goals is the same guy that led the Panthers in goals last season. Mike Hoffman, and he actually scored the first goal of the season for the Panthers, got them on the board last night in that game in Tampa with his first of the year. And the number I threw out there was 39, a little bit better than his 36 from last season. So that's who I threw out there. Jameson, you went with?
I went with Jonathan Huberdeau. I think it was around 36, too, as well.
Okay.
But the thing is, career high 30 for him last year, not too far behind Hoffman's 36. I think it's going to be pretty close this season when you look at, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that could go, 36, 35, 34, 34. I think it's going to be a lot of guys bunched up in the lower 30s. And I think Huberdeau, on that top power play unit, I think he's going to get a lot of good looks with other people. As penalty kills focus more and more on Mike Hoffman, I think that's going to open up some shots for Huberdeau. At 5-on-5, playing with Barkov, that's going to open up a lot of opportunities as well. So I think this is the year he keeps building on that goal total, keeps shooting more, and I think he gets up to 36.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Doug. I think that's a nice shout for Barkov. I'm going to go actually over your prediction. I'm going to say he hits 40 this year. I'm going to say Sasha Barkov will not only lead the team in goals, I know he was one shy of Hoffman last year, but I'm going to go 40 for the captain.
40 for Barkov to lead the team in goals. As far as the Panthers point leader this season, I am on record calling a duplicate season for Barkov. 96 points once again to lead the Panthers in points.
I'm going Barkov too. This could be a hat trick between all three of us, I think, potentially, but I'm going Barky. I think he just sneaks over 100 this year. I think the goals go up a little bit. The assists go up a little bit. You got to remember, he's not only playing probably the most minutes among the forwards at 5-on-5, he's also playing on the penalty kill on the top power play. He just has so many opportunities to rack up points throughout the season that I think he finally gets over 100.
I'm actually going to go Huberdeau for points. Obviously, the assists will take him over Barky for the total, but I just want to check. I don't want to have a clean sweep, and I was, even before you guys open your mouths, I was thinking Hubie for points.
To round out my predictions here, I'm going to throw out my Panthers points prediction and a couple other general predictions that I'd made. I believe the Panthers point total will be 103, the same number of points they had when they made the playoffs in the 15-16 season. That's my predicted number for points, so you always talk about 95 or so being that benchmark for making the playoffs. I think the Panthers are going to blow right past that this season. Also, a couple other predictions. After back-to-back 28-goal seasons, I've said that Evgeny Dadonov is going to hit the 30-goal plateau this season. Also, Frank Vatrano will set a new career high in goals this season after having 24 last year. He'll hit at least 25 this season.
I like that.
Point total, I'm going a little bit lower than Doug. I'm going 101, still gets you a spot in the playoffs, obviously. It'll only be the second 100-point season in franchise history, joining that 103 season a couple of years ago. But I put out some good takes, I thought, on the podcast, but I'm going to come up with a new one, a hotter take here for the radio. I'm going to say Sergei Bobrovsky finishes the season with more penalty minutes than Alexander Barkov.
Ooh, I like that.
The reigning lady,
I like that.
The reigning Lady Bing winner, Barkov, the ultimate gentleman in hockey. I think he only ended up at 4 or 6 penalty minutes last year. Bobrovsky had 2 in the preseason, so I think it could be a thing where maybe Barky finishes with 4, Bobrovsky finishes with 6. Either way, I think it's going to be tight all year long.
You know, I'm thinking about this this hot take idea. I don't know if I'd call this a hot take. Maybe, and I don't even know if that's bold of a prediction I'm going to make, but I'm going to predict a Selke trophy for Sasha Barkov.
I think that he probably did everything needed to win it last season. So I don't see any reason why he won't win it this season.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he finally gets that recognition, and I'm very happy for the Lady Bing. Maybe he gets that again this year, and it's a clean sweep. But I'm going for the Selke as well for Barkey.
I think an even hotter take would be potentially he could go Hart, Selke, and Bing.
Yes, the hat trick.
If you pull it, if you look at what the people were saying around the league, NHL.com kind of pulled all their writers. I think he was the fifth among them in Hart chances. And in Selke he was in the top three. So he's already in line for all of these. He's in the conversations, and in hockey, a lot of the time you just have to be in the conversation off the bat to get the recognition throughout the year. So I think he's obviously got to go out there. He's got to execute. He's got to do it. But I think there's definitely a shot. That's not even a hot take in my book. There's definitely a shot.
That's the thing. It's like I feel like I could have done better with a hotter take, but Jameson brought it so strong with Bobrovsky in the penalty minutes being over Bark. I don't know how to top that. So how about that? I'm going to pick up on what you said there. It's going to be the hat trick for Barkov. Hart, Selke, Lady Bing. I think that's going to be quite an individual year for the captain this year.
There you have it. Sounds like he's in reach of all of them, and he might be he might be the guy, how do you phrase this, the guy, I guess, closest to the top in the preseason discussion for all three.
Yeah.
I mean, there are guys that are maybe mentioned for all three, but he's a contender out of the gate for all three, knowing what he means to the Panthers and their success. He certainly showed last year that he could be one of the best defensive players in the National Hockey League without going to the box much. He didn't go to the penalty box till game number 34 last season. And then a guy certainly who is going to be in that Selke conversation for the next 12, 15 years.
So, Doug, tomorrow night, home opener for the Florida Panthers.
7 o'clock.
Big time. You can hear Doug on the radio call. Anything else Panthers?
$7.90 the ticket to tune in tomorrow, by the way.
That's
if
a good
you
shout.
Can't come out to the game, we'd love to see you there, but $7.90 the ticket's where to tune in tomorrow night for our listeners down here in South Florida. So programming note, if you will, for tomorrow. We'll start the coverage at 6:30. Bill Lindsay and I and Kevin Rogers tomorrow evening. And then, of course, we will have the puck drop at 7 o'clock. So that's what lies ahead for tomorrow. 954-835-PuckFloridaPanthers.com. Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets.
And Doug, I think you're leaving out the most important thing, and I think Donald could be a fan of this as well. First 10,000 fans to the door, magnet schedule for the season.
That's huge.
It's very important for sports fans.
You know, I know a lot of people with their smartphones, they don't feel like they need that stuff. I am a huge proponent of the magnet schedule on the fridge and the pocket schedule in my wallet. Those, to me, are keys for every team I support.
And the magnet schedule most commonly can go on the fridge. We got into this in territory talk, though. There are lots of other magnetic surfaces out there, so if you decide that one of those better suits your magnet schedule, you can move it. It doesn't leave behind any adhesive or anything like that. It's a magnet. It's transferable, so there are a lot of other advantages.
I mean, my father has had two knee replacements. He can, slap one over the kneecap, and it's going to stick on the metal knee. So great stuff here. You want to make sure you follow Doug on Twitter, at Doug Plagans. Follow Jameson, at Jameson Coop. Follow me at Alex Dono. Thanks to everyone who joined us. Thanks to Danny Cavedo back in our production nook over there making everything go. And we'll see you guys at the rink tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Florida Panthers home opener hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. You can hear it on 790 The Ticket. We've enjoyed talking to you tonight on 560 The Joe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.